And that's pretty much all we got for the present-day Bathrobe's Piers broadsides bits and pieces. Now we're going to go to a complete show and a 3.5-hour long one from, I guess it's August 15th, 1999. So in those days, I kept records not through online recordings, but through audio-taped recordings that were done often by folks who were distant at listening to the show on the air. Often my producer, Beggarbacker, Becky Johnson, did that in those days. Sometimes Glad Eyes Gloria did as well. But the reason I mention it is because they're going to be kind of abrupt cuts at parts of the show, and it's not because I'm cutting out material. I try to make it a point of principle, though not always, usually, to keep the entire show intact, unless it's so distorted you really can't hear anything, which sometimes happens with the music more frequently than with the speech. But in any case, if you hear things abruptly going, that's because of the way it was recorded and kept in its kind of primitive fashion. It's since been translated into the Huff website. If you ever want to get these flashbacks directly, as for instance, if you wanted to find the flashback that happened right before August 15th, I think it was August 13th or something, or the one that was right after, you'll often be able to find them if you go to the HuffSantaCruz.org website and look under Bathrobe's Piers Broadsides. And for shows before 1994, an archive of the oldest shows. And they're most of them are audible. Some of them are harder to hear, but they're, I think, historically interesting. If you are interested in following my particular brand of focus on the activism that I was either involved in or closely interested in Santa Cruz, around homeless folks, sometimes around the war, sometimes around medical marijuana decriminalization or legalization or whatever you will, and sometimes just with the dissenting voices on city council abuses toward different minority groups, should we say different groups of dissenters, even if they're minorities. For example, Jillian Greenside at one point comes in and talks a lot about the failure of the Santa Cruz Police Department to, that's another issue of our local police. So I guess it isn't just the fact that she's speaking on behalf of women, too, or I think in terms of the interests of women, about how rape cases are not adequately investigated by, or weren't at the time she was speaking, of probably, 2008, 2009, somewhere around there. So what happened on this last, the one we're talking about, the August 15th, 1999 flashback? You have Joel Kappa, a community activist who's describes in detail his personal struggle with the courts and what he feels was corruption regarding the what he regarded as the seizure of his child by a corrupt judge. I think he denounces Judge Black. I can't speak to the merits of his charges. You have to look at what he says or listen to it and see what you think. Then we have Patches, who is a squeegee woman. You know, and normally I only used to see that. I wasn't always in a car those days, but in the 90s, when this thing was happening, at the very end of the 90s, squeegee people who were homeless were in big cities, and Santa Cruz, Patches was a squeegee woman. And she got into trouble for it, but she kept doing it. And there's a discussion of Dragonfly of the Dark Goddess Vigil and how the cops closed it down. Skidmark Bob, who now works for Parks and Rec, or did some time ago. Maybe he's given up that job, too. As well. I had some conflicts with him on that issue because we were trying to open the London Nelson bathrooms and he was justifying their closure because he worked for Parks and Rec or because he felt it was justified, or both. Then we have the V-Man, another free radio broadcaster, Vinnie Lombardo, who discusses the... I wouldn't call it undue focus on KPFA, which was, experiencing a struggle to resist the corporate takeover by the larger foundation that was funding it, the Pacifica Foundation, firing people, removing local programming. And there was a great massive outcry on the streets of Berkeley. There was a protest that went on for weeks, maybe even a month, in front of the KPFA studio on, I think it was Shattuck, I'm not sure. And V-Man talks about how he was concerned also with micropower stations. He didn't want the struggle for KPFA to overshadow micropower, but he was a supporter of KPFA's local programming. Then we have Lighthouse Linda LeMaster coming on. She was about to convene the first meeting of the Homeless Issues Task Force, which I call the Homeless Icky Task Force, because I regarded it as an attempt to divert activist energy, which I think it turned out to be. And I have a sort of a difference of opinion with her on that. You get to hear that difference of opinion. And we have Jane Baer, who's I think now gone. Linda LeMaster still lives, by the way, for those of you who wonder about her. As far as I know, Jane Baer was a Beach Flats resident with partners with Phil Baer, and they were landlords as well as residents in the Beach Flats, and they fought to make sure that the Dolphin Lee project was done in a way that actually gave protection to all the tenants who were being ousted from the Dolphin Lee and other apartments that were being mowed down in order to establish this Mercy Charities housing run project, which was a favorite of then mayor, she was mayor at that time, Catherine Byers. We have Bob LaMonica denouncing SCAN, Santa Cruz Action Network, which actually elected the so-called progressive city council, which I always say is progressive on Nicaragua, but not so progressive on rent control and civil rights for homeless people and dealing with police abuses here in Santa Cruz, sort of the way Democrats are in most cities. He goes into that. He also talks about the failure of SCAN to support the battle against marijuana suppression, which was happening there and was a continuing fight, and probably, I think, to say it still is. Linda LeMaster calls in and talks about rental housing again and initiatives to address it and some history. We have, actually, Jane Baer also talks about mainly talks about is the May 22nd protest, in which five people were arrested and tried, and Steve Argue was sent to jail for a year, Steadfast Steve Argue, as I used to call him, for blocking a police officer, punching him in the face. In fact, that was Officer David LeFevre, for twisting the arm of a woman with a child in her arms, a woman named Juliana, because activists had surrounded a police squad car because they were arresting a person who was innocent of a crime. They got the wrong person, and they didn't want to talk. They just wanted to arrest a bunch of people and, you know, use police force, sort of the ICE tactics of an earlier day, although not as brutal as ICE, but still pretty brutal, particularly when backed up by a law enforcement court machinery, which sent people to jail and sent people into these time-consuming and essentially punishing episodes in court, not to mention costly for the taxpayer. And finally, you have David Silva, dead-on David, as I called him, who died in 2018 abroad after a lifetime of struggle in Santa Cruz to end the sleeping ban, on a somewhat separate track than mine, but makes no difference. He was there at the protests. He was there urging authorities and in his own way and doing fasts and speaking out loudly and constantly around this issue as well as on other issues. And this time he's critiquing my treatment of Lighthouse Linda Lemaster, who I mentioned earlier. She and I had a dispute. And he also talks about the hate-free zone initiative that he's circulating petitions for. And that pretty much winds up the flashback from May 15th, or August 15th, 1999. I found it an educational tape for me, but I'm interested in this kind of history, and I don't know if you, listener, are, but if you are, you might be. You might find this worth listening to. In the meantime, get out of history and hit the streets, because now is a time when people are, mainly because of their own lion eyes that aren't lion, but of course the authorities, the national authorities, the Trump authorities are lying about abuses by ICE. But we got to remember it was Obama and Biden and their Democratic Party buddies who also set the stage for all this bullshit with ICE. And they are trusting in them to end this is false trust. Doesn't mean you shouldn't make maybe coalition with them in opposing the Trump regime's bullshit and their various abusive Nazi-like officials. But I wouldn't want to put them back in power for that. We need to find real people to put in power. In fact, we need a whole new power structure. That's the problem, because the power structure, in my view, corrupts the people. And people may have the best motives when they hit it, but they make the deals when they get there. They get the funding, rules the roost, and we're the ones who get pecked. Badly pecked. Persistently pecked. And it's more than pecked, of course. It's pummeled. So that's it. There is a meeting of the California Homeless Union coming up.